The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. We f***ed that. Anyway, you'll find a way.
Catamaran home!
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. Some trouble this week. Sam Clark, who's been taking care of the glorious visual component, shortly before we were set to film this episode with the great Ray O'Leary, was stricken. He realized he was stricken with what I believe turned out to be, I'm sorry to say this in case this makes people uncomfortable, an infected wisdom tooth. And so he had to flee, swollen and sore, to an emergency dentist. And I believe that's been taken care of. He's on the mend. He tells me he's on the mend. But all prayers and love to Sam Clark. And we wish him a speedy recovery. But it meant that I had to take charge. Well, I mean, either we weren't going to have a visual component this week, or I had to lead the charge. So I led the charge. I took Ray O'Leary to the beach. I thought, wouldn't it be nice if when I set up all these, I set up both of our phones and the laptop to record the visual component. And then, of course, none of it worked. So where the audio is impaired by us being next to the sea. And when I realized at the end of the interview that my attempts to capture us speaking with a visual element had failed, if you're looking at the visual element now rather than the audio podcast, you'll see some videos that I took afterwards of the ocean and of the beautiful sunset, and we'll just play them on a loop for the video. It gives you something, gives you some idea of what we were looking at and some notion of how utterly beautiful it could have been. Sam Clark, get well soon. The visual domain, not Jimmy's strength. We're speaking this week on the podcast to the great Ray O'Leary, who I met when he was a struggling up-and-comer in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Now, of course, he's a massive comedy superstar taking over these shores. I'm so very proud of Ray and the journey that he's on, and it was an honour to get to speak to him. And speaking of honours and people on tour in Australia, I'm starting my tour this week. We did the trial shows in Adelaide. They were lovely. We've got another show in Adelaide this Wednesday. On Thursday, I'll be in Perth. Two shows in Perth. First one sold out. The late show on Thursday. Still some tickets available at this time. Please, I'd love to come and see you in Perth. You specifically. And then next week, we're on to Brisbane, Melbourne and Sydney. Tickets on sale now. Brisbane and Sydney, one show sold out each and another show added. And Melbourne, as I keep saying, it's a big room. Some tickets still available to the Comics Lounge in Melbourne, who wrote to me tonight and they said they've, I think, heard me complain that my picture's not up on the wall. Sometimes at a comedy club, they'll have caricatures of people. And my caricature is not on the wall of the Melbourne Comedy Club. And they said, James, if you sell out that show, we will put a caricature of you on the wall. So what an impetus there is there to get that done. Genuinely would thrill and delight me. You know, you go to these comedy clubs and you see people's pictures and this, and you go, my goodness, Maria Bamford's more commercially successful than I knew. She's selling out the big club in Cleveland. Wow. Jerry Seinfeld was here. Steve Harvey. Hamburger. I don't think I have seen Hamburger on a wall, but I assume he's out there. Tickets on sale now. There's a link somewhere. I trust you. And you can find that. Oh, I'm so thrilled to have an interview with Ray. We don't do a lot of interviews on this show because it's hard, usually. I usually have to edit a lot of myself out, and this one I only had to edit out one thing. Nice to be growing in competency as an interviewer. I don't know why I feel the need to speak like Dame Edna tonight. Enough. Here is my interview with Ray O'Leary, lovely Ray. And I think just before the interview starts, I'm complaining about how all these New Zealanders come to Australia and have great success and get on our television programs. And we, the humble, toiling Australians, don't get on our own TV shows. And Ray takes that in good spirit.
Yes, no, we just noticed a gap in the market in terms of good comedy. And so we came over here and we started performing comedy to your audiences.
It is noticeable that all the good new Australian comedians who are having careers are actually from New Zealand.
We're making your woman laugh. We're
coming over. Disgusting. Yeah. We welcome you, Kiwis. Yes. We didn't know this would happen. I went to New Zealand many years ago and tried to, you know, even get on at some of the clubs there. Much harder, much harder for an Australian to make it in New Zealand.
Oh, 100%. There is absolutely no quid pro quo. It does not go both ways. So not only is New Zealand smaller, so it's less financially viable to even try to come to New Zealand.
I actually don't believe, I know what you're saying, but I have a counterpoint, but please go on.
Okay, thank you, thank you. But the other
ring goes on this finger to help me remember. Please continue speaking.
But the other thing is New Zealanders have such a, New Zealand, Australia has such a little brother, big brother mentality, at least from New Zealand's end. So New Zealand, I think New Zealand audiences, they love any comedian with an accent.
Yeah.
Provided they're not Australians. The Australian accent is the one we hate.
I found that.
We have a hatred towards Australians. You know, the biggest Australian comedian in New Zealand is Chopper.
Yes.
Chopper Reid, who I would say...
Not the actual Chopper Reid.
Not the actual... No, we loved...
Heath Franklin's.
Obviously, a day of mourning when he passed.
I remember seeing the newspaper article saying, you may see that Chopper has died.
Yes.
This is not the Chopper that you, sweet New Zealanders, know and love.
Yes. People, I think, reached out to 7 Days, our topical news show, being like, we're so sorry to hear Chopper died. And
it's heartbreaking.
He won't be coming on the show anymore to talk about the price of milk in New Zealand.
At some point, it was very strange that stopped being an impression of Chopper.
Yes. Heath,
I should... A context for anyone, I guess, in America.
Yeah.
Chopper was a criminal.
Yes.
Who, spent time in prison and bits of his ears were chopped off.
And
Eric Banner did a movie about him.
Yes, The Incredible Hulk.
And then Heath Franklin does an impression of Eric Banner doing an impression of Chopper. And that is the character that became very successful on New Zealand panel shows.
Yeah, hugely successful.
And at some point, he just started doing his own material in the Chopper voice.
And
he's meant to be playing a bike and he's getting out there and going, girls don't like talking to me. It didn't make any sense.
It's interesting how the characters morphed. I should say all the stand-up is still excellent.
Wonderful.
It's still wonderful. It's just interesting that he still has to do it under the Chopper name.
I think there were a couple of years where he was trying to stop.
Yes, no.
But the people yearn for Chop Chop.
He does, I think, 1 year on, 1 year off now. Is he sort of
trying?
Because it does happen with all comedians, I think. If they create a character that's on, you know, successful online, and then they try to do stand up, they quickly realize, oh, I'm in a prison of my own making.
Have you followed De Antwoord at all?
The
South African hip hop trio.
I haven't heard from them in a long time.
There was a clip towards the end of their big wave of success. Yeah. Of Ninja.
Ninja the Samurai song?
Ninja's the guy. But he goes like, they go, this is a character, isn't it? And he goes, I can't take this mask off. Like, it was all fun and games in the beginning, but now, what can I do?
I just hear that accent and all I want to do is kill prawns. That's all I want to do.
He's in that movie.
Is he?
No, hold on. He's in...
fantastic film.
The same director made a very similar film. But this
Elysium?
Time it was about aliens.
Yeah.
No, it was about robots instead of about aliens.
Oh, wait, there was Hugh Jackman?
Yes.
Chappie. Yes,
yeah. He's the guy, their friend. Oh, Chappie, come over here. We're people of the streets, so we understand what it's like to be a robot.
So Chopper in New Zealand, I think he... symbolizes everything New Zealanders believe about Australia.
Yes.
So, like, he's, you know, he's offensive, he's crude, he drinks beer, he, you know, he's not afraid to be politically incorrect or whatever.
Well, that's what we'd like to be, but what we are actually is a nation of real rule followers.
Yeah, no, 100%. You're very mild-mannered. Like, I've been... And the thing is, yeah, New Zealand comedians, we come here and the public embraces us.
Yeah.
They're so lovely, so kind. You know, you're no different to every other country, but New Zealand... No,
I find this in America now because I went to New Zealand with my foreign Australian accent.
Yeah.
Harsh, stern. Sometimes, literally once at the Classic, I believe I was booed onto the stage. This next guy's from Australia. A boo! It was a light, jovial booing.
They've done that, yeah. If someone mentions I've moved to Australia, the crowd reacts badly. Or one time when I...
What's wrong with not making any money?
Yes, when I moved from Wellington to Auckland, the Wellington MC said he's moved from Wellington to Auckland, and they booed and they were mad. And I was like, I'm sorry, my career's going
well. It's a distinctly parochial place. Yes. And as well it should be, because the deracinated existence is barely worth carrying on with. I mean only to say that now that I've moved to America and I turn up with an Australian accent, and I get that little extra... I would always see a van, Irista Gieta, and I love a van.
Yes,
but
van.
He would get on there, I'm from Venezuela, and I would think, it's easier for him. But now I'm in America, I can genuinely say, wow, it's easier with an accent. Boy, the material I have to bring to get good laughs, not as clever. And Ivan also was very clever and very good.
He's very, very good. Yeah, yes. Being
very clever and good combined with an accent.
Yes.
How do you beat that?
Yes, no, and because it immediately, I mean... I think the more I do comedy, the more I've come to realize that success in comedy, I mean, obviously you need to be funny, but one of the things that's far more important, well, not far more important, but as important, is you need to be able to have a clear, distinct character on stage.
Yes.
So the audience can sort of grab a hold on to and sort of get this feeling of where you're coming from.
Do you struggle with that, to have a character?
Yes, I think people...
Have you noticed that you're a very... middle of the road fella.
I've noticed.
There's nothing hugely distinct about Ray.
I think when I started in New Zealand, there weren't many. I think when I come out on stage, the audience goes, "This guy's like a nerd. He's a loser. He's a virgin."
I always think Tiny Tim, tiptoe through the tulips.
Yes, that, I get that as well.
Are you going for that on purpose?
And the ukulele doesn't help.
No, marrying a child on the Ed Sullivan Show. Was it David Letterman? It was one of these shows. Excuse me. Not that you've done that.
Not that I've done Tiny Tim did that. One day. But
she was like 15, right? Please go on.
Elvis Presley.
It was a different time, right?
It was a better time. And it was a different time. It was a different...
Come on.
And,
character.
But I do genuinely think... I mean, well, it's unclear, but I think at least in New Zealand, at least the comedians that were appearing on TV, there weren't any that sort of matched my like weird deadpan... nerdy energy, the kind of vibe that I was bringing. And so I think that did allow me to elevate faster than I think other comedians who were actually funnier than I was.
I mean, in some ways you're less... It's odd, because in some ways you're less deadpan than what we typically think of in Australia as New Zealand comedy.
Yeah.
Which is... I mean, it would be wrong to say it's only Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's mostly Flight of the Conchords. You know, if we do an impression of a New Zealand comedian, it might go something like this. This is a New Zealand sketch. All right. Look, I've got a new pair of shoes. Oh, nice. They look good. Do you think so? They don't quite fit. Oh, give it a bit of time. Just that going on interminably.
Please,
is that unfair?
Please do not steal my material, please. I've spent years holding that shoe stuff. Okay. You come.
Oh, no, there's a mark on my shoes. Now everyone will look at me.
You come to Christchurch, that stuff destroys, all right? I'm a king.
As an Australian, once they know I'm Australian doing it out of hate, it's no good. I do want to... This is a podcast mainly about me trying to buy a boat.
Yes, congrats.
I say mainly. It's not... Well, it's a through line that I sometimes return to.
Yes.
It's a movement in a symphony that goes wildly off course too often.
Yeah.
Much like a boat might, anyway.
Oh.
It's no good. I'm trying to get more fans in New Zealand.
Yes.
I've got lots of fans in... I'm doing this tour in Australia. That's going well. And I've had people write... A couple people say, come to New Zealand. And I can't.
Yeah.
Because I'm not popular there.
Yes.
And I don't know how to become popular there.
It is genuinely... like, I think the New Zealand public still aren't a comedy-going crowd. Like, I still think they're somewhat reticent to go out to things.
Well, it's weird when you go to America.
The exact opposite?
You'll go to a town of 200,000 people, and they've got a comedy club that's open every night of the week, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday.
Insane. New Zealand, we only have, I would say, we have one... We have one viable comedy club that's been open for 20 years.
In 4 million people in the nation.
Yeah, yeah, in a nation of 5 million now.
Yeah.
And that's a city with just over 1 million people. Wellington had one when I started, and it shut down after 2 years.
Dead.
And Christchurch currently has one, but it's not open every night.
Yep.
And,
you know. I once was in Dunedin, and I went to a... there was something billed as an open mic comedy night.
Oh.
And we went along, and it was a little laneway bar,
yeah.
And the comedians had just not bothered. I guess it had gone so badly the week before that it had been cancelled by the week I was there. But the guy who was running the bar, there were like four people there, and yeah. My girlfriend's, at the time, now wife's, her mum.
Oh, congrats.
And the bartender was like, did you want to do a spot? Did you want to, we've got the microphone, no one's shown up. And I did my act to the three people who were there. It was dreadful. And it was also very dirty stuff about her daughter.
Oh.
And the mother was very supportive. But I think it's only now that she's started to accept the comedy might one day go well enough that I'll be able to provide. It really...
That it justifies you dragging her daughter's name through the mud and...
Well, not through the mud. I was just describing certain acts that at that time were, we didn't know were wrong. But of course, now we've come to a more fuller understanding. And indeed, perhaps if we had truly listened to the conscience, the Aboriginal Vicar of Christ, as I think John Henry Newman terms it, we would have known that that was wrong. But the important thing is, how do we become more successful in New Zealand?
I think it's dropping more John Henry Newman references. I think that's the kind of stuff that goes well with the
broad... St. John Henry Newman?
It goes well with the broad, the sort of comedy going public. They want to hear the John Henry Newman
stuff.
Well,
they would... resent John Henry Newman in New Zealand because, of course, he started out Anglican, as most of your country is, and then he became Catholic.
Yeah.
He thought his way through it, and Anglicans don't like that.
Leaving Anglicanism and converting to...
No, after killing so many people, to admit that you were wrong at this point would be... Gee, the face would be red.
Oh, did he kill people?
No, just the Anglicans in general.
Yes.
I mean, they really had to murder their way out of Christendom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Excuse me, there's no need to talk about that now. King Henry started out as a great king. Have you ever thought about playing King Henry VIII in a film? I have.
Really?
I would love...
You think you'd be good?
I think I'd be a top-notch King Henry VIII. Yeah. Jovial and fun for the first act.
Then
I kill all my wives.
Wasn't he always a bit like, what's the word? Syphilitic and sort of, you know, decrepit.
I believe
and
that's raised. No, gouty.
Gouty, yes, gouty, yes, yes.
Yeah. But I would be. I think he was such a. I think the term is pussy hound that they were using at the time that if he wasn't syphilitic.
Yeah.
I would have questions. Man, syphilis, nasty.
Yes, it's crazy that it killed people and it you know, made their brains go, you know, it gives you like a, it makes you crazy, right? Like,
and then
you
your son or your daughter also inherits syphilis of the brain.
Oh, good Lord.
Hello.
Hello.
Syphilis of the brain.
Friedrich Nietzsche had
I don't believe that.
He died of syphilis, I believe.
Okay.
Well, you don't know if you believe that?
I don't believe that. I don't. He may have had syphilis, but I don't know to what extent it was involved for his downfall. So Nietzsche, you know, he has like Man, Superman.
Yeah.
You're going to invent your own
Ubermensch,
morals and virtue.
Yes.
Beyond good and evil. And then he sees a horse being flogged.
Uh-huh.
And he sort of has to lie down for the last 10 years and have his sister clean his feces and things of that nature. I believe, and people say he was crazy and it was the syphilis, but I think his ideology got him here. I think he was a victim of his own philosophy, and that's where that thinking gets you.
Not necessarily
a rot of the brain.
The weight of the world was too much for him after.
Who among us is a Superman? Who among us can truly come up with their own values? It's just not possible. That's why I really believe in taking the values that are given to us by other people. You've got to be careful of which values you take.
Uh-huh,
but one human life is so short, and we're so driven by... I don't know about you, but I'm a very... what's the word I'm looking for? I'm a fallen man. Calipigiant is not the word. What's the word? Concupiscent.
Yeah. I've looked inwards and I've thought about it and I've noticed that all my motives are pure and,
really?
And selfless and above board and you know, generally driven towards light and away from heat.
Let me ask this, because you're doing a lot of high stress activities.
Yes.
You come to a new country.
Yep.
You do stand up comedy.
Yes.
You got to go on a TV show and make jokes about another country's news. That's not easy.
It is. I really. What's annoying after having, you know, the great thing about New Zealand is that I can go, you know, everywhere else is bigger than New Zealand. So,
yeah.
So I benefit hugely from moving overseas and stuff. But one of the costs of growing up in New Zealand is that I now have a bunch of cultural references that are absolutely useless.
They don't work at all.
They do not. No one knows who David Bain is.
I know who David Bain is, but only because I was wearing those jumpers and people kept going, oh, David Bain, David Bain jumper. Oh, yeah. You're going to kill everybody.
Yeah, David Bain, he was a 30-year-old delivery boy, mailman.
Yeah.
Paper boy. He would go on his bike and deliver papers. And then one morning, his family died. And he maintains that he was out delivering papers and that his father killed his family and then shot himself. Whereas most people believe David Bain... Well, sorry, not most people. It's up to debate, but a lot of people believe David
Everybody thinks David Bain killed himself. Now, did he get off?
Not initially. I believe he was sent to prison, and then he was eventually... maybe there was a retrial, and he was found not guilty. And then there was another trial, maybe about whether or not he should get compensation for the amount of time he spent in prison.
I tell you who should get compensation is people who go and wear those beautiful jumpers. You can't wear a knitted sweater in New Zealand now without people going, oh, David Bain, yeah. He's David Bain.
It's our Hitler moustache. It's like literally like anyone who wears that.
Such a big reference. I didn't even hear... In Australia, you get Cosby sweater.
Cosby sweater, yeah.
But so big was David Bain.
Yeah.
That there are so many beautiful New Zealand cultural reference points. That the underarm, we understand.
Yes.
That's still very big in
New Zealand.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, I could make a reference to that. People would understand
what
I was talking about.
It's been so heartbreaking. In Australia...
I don't even watch sport and I know what it is.
Oh, there are so many sporting ones that I got into football a couple of years ago and I can take none of it. All the Americans get to talk about their football.
Yeah.
And when I'm on stage, I can't just go, I've got some observations about Matthew Lloyd that you might find interesting. Do we all notice that he loves violence, but in a very restrained sort of way? They don't care. But I want to ask about
Ben
you and the
Cousins.
Soul and the self. Ben Cousins, what a reference is. Do you know Ben Cousins? Last news story I read about Ben Cousins is he was running around shirtlessly in the military complex.
Yeah.
And they couldn't catch him because his cardiovascular skills, even as a late stage drug addict, were too high. Sure. And he was screaming, "I'm one of you! I'm one of you!" And they couldn't tackle him. Untackleable.
Surely that's the sign. Like, you know how like when you know someone will hack into a like hack into Microsoft, and Microsoft, instead of being like, you know, we're going to send you to prison, like, we're going to give you a job because you're obviously great with computers.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a sign. They should be like, you need to be sergeant or something.
Move him to center half forward. Yeah. Get him at least going through the minefield or something, dodging sniper fire.
Yes.
But I want to ask, I mean, this is a hard thing, going to a new country, going on their television, and for the spoils of getting to sell out night after night. I mean, big spoils.
Big spoils.
Big cash money,
big
doing
spoils.
Big rooms.
Spare the rod, spoil this child.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't fully understand where that fits in, but I'll go with it. But what motivates you to push forward through discomfort? You could have been, you know, a happy B-plus level career, New Zealand, sometimes going on their television, you know, thing.
Yeah.
But instead, you move to Melbourne, a cold, unpleasant city, to try and crack this vast nation. What motivates you if not greed and a lust for power?
Is this where it comes from? Yes. No, it is. I mean, you got me. Have you heard of the hedonistic treadmill?
No.
You may have heard of the concept before.
I know hedonism and I know treadmills.
Ironically enough, it's not really a combination of either of those things.
Yeah.
But it's this idea that human beings are hardwired so that we want something, you know, like we spend a while, you know, when I first started, all I wanted in comedy was to make enough per week to make a subsistence living. You know, that's all.
Of course.
That's all I wanted. That
we
was the
all
original
just want
goal.
To return to the yeoman farmer, but with stand-up comedy.
Yes.
So you want to subsist.
Yes, that's all I wanted. And then once you achieve that, you get that, and then you find that, and then, you know, you are happy for a little bit, but then, you know, that becomes your new normal.
Yeah.
And now that's normal, you want more. And so it's this constant drive in human beings that we're sort of constantly cursed to be unhappy and sort of driving us to move forward and aim for higher and higher things. And
I think this is only a curse with a disordered life.
Yes.
I mean, I can see with a disordered life it is a curse. But as a man who keeps impregnating his wife, it is...
And we need to find that man.
I should apologize. These big-headed gingers... getting chopped out of his missa. My wife, we have three children.
Oh,
we may have more. I appreciate it. They're all young.
Yeah.
And again, it's like if with every new child, I have to earn a new X amount of money a year. None of them are even in school yet. So as they get older as well, going through life,
they're more expensive.
If I was not on that...
Swim lessons?
I mean, we're...
You don't care about them surviving.
I took my daughter to try and learn how to swim, and I was so nasty about it, and I don't want to think about it, and I hope I haven't made her afraid of swimming for life.
Oh.
She just kept clinging on to me and hurting me, and I'd say, let go! And she'd go, I'm scared! And, anyway, well, swim lessons, definitely a professional would be better at this point. But, like, as one lives and grows in responsibility, the resources one needs to marshal to live in that mode as a caring husband, father, scion type. Is that the word I'm looking for? As an elder, a member of the community.
Yes.
That too increases. So I think that this ambition of higher and higher mountains, that only is probably a narcissistic hedonism alone. Now, have you considered impregnating somebody, a woman? I think that would help with these feelings.
Obviously I've considered it, but I've decided against it.
Okay.
I don't care about money for money's sake. You know, like I don't like the goal isn't to make money or to gather as many resources and then sit on a pile of gold like Smaug the dragon or whatever.
Yeah.
I do think the ultimate goal is to donate it to charity or something, or start trying to give it back to people less fortunate, or
I can guess how much you're making. You're not making enough to
not yet
seriously improve living standards in Uganda currently.
Not yet. But with this white savior complex, I will.
I believe you. I would love to make enough money. First, I mean, obviously the boat.
Yeah.
And the boat's not because I want a boat.
Yeah.
It's
to justify doing a podcast.
No, in a sense. But I'm called, definitely.
Yeah. To the seas? Definitely.
I mean, don't you love it? Look at it.
What a cool change.
There's nothing... I have a dear friend. Her name is Madeline. And she wrote to my wife. And she said... she's a dear family friend.
Yeah.
And she said, Tay, I've got to see the ocean. I need to see the ocean. I must. And I think you must too. And then there were all these follow-up texts of, the ocean, please. And so 2 days ago, we took our children to the ocean. And even though it's winter and no one really wants to go in there, there is something about the sea that is... Have you seen the movie The 400 Blows?
No, I have not.
It's about a little boy... This is a great oversimplification. It's about a little boy who really wants to see the sea.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets there and the last shot is him sort of turning around and not being... all that excited by the sea. But I always think, what a ridiculous little boy. That's the sea. I love it.
You never had that? Never wanted something so badly and then achieved it and realized it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be?
I'm no Japanese businessman trudging off to a suicide forest 3 days after a new promotion. I love life. I want it all. I tell you, the needs are so great.
Yes.
Genuine needs. A man needs a home. A man with a family, renting is not just not good. I think it's psychologically harmful to your children. And this is a moral ill.
Interesting. Is that because you have to move more often or anything like that, an instability? Or
it would be part of it. But I think even something as simple as I wish to paint a wall. I wish to manifest that this I am... a custodian of this land, and I do with it what should be done for my family. And you can't do that in a rental. A man comes and inspects to see if your socks are off the floor every 3 days. What are you doing with that exhaust fan? Why, get a paper towel across that. Yuck! No, a man must be free.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
My neighbor knocked on my door and told me off... Because they could hear my heater downstairs.
They could hear your heater.
Yeah, it was the AC unit that was installed in the apartment as I got it.
Ah.
And that is too loud for them. And so now they insist on me going cold in the evenings. That's no way.
Ray, you've got to drop a fuck you on this guy. I'm sorry to say. If ever you're a conflict averse man, I can tell.
Yes, 100%.
But if ever there was a time to say you
are overstepping the lines,
yeah,
and it's not that loud.
I was once in a winter. Juicy Snooze in Christchurch.
What? Oh, the van.
No, it was owned by the van company, but it was their pod hotel.
Oh, yep.
And It wasn't really, it wasn't proper doors on the pod. What it was like a YMCA with molded plastic furnishings to make it look futuristic. But you would bring your little curtain down and then put on the fan, and the fan was so loud. You know, and there are businessmen there, people waiting to make connecting flights. It just made me too sad. And so I kept I was the heater fan. And so I would keep getting myself cold until I couldn't take it anymore and then put the sound on. You've got to have the heater. You deserve the heater.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's too kind. I think as I have lived in places before where my neighbours have been so loud that it's irritated me, you know. And so I understand where they're coming from. But anyway, the point is, if your children were living in that scenario, that would be, you know, horrible. That's no way for people to live. And now, I've got all these coins, you know, rattling around in my pocket. I do feel like when I buy something with cash, it feels free now. It feels like I haven't spent any money on it.
Isn't it funny? It used to feel the other way.
Yes, it used to feel the other way.
And now it's just, well, this isn't real.
I used to apologize for getting out my FBOS card for like a dollar transaction.
When you were off at the dairy?
Yes, the dairy.
Buying yourself a cookie time? Will you buy a cookie time at the dairy?
Don't you ingratiate yourself to me with these Kiwi references.
I couldn't believe how poor the quality of food was in the average dairy. It's New Zealand finally has juice, reasonable juice. For a long time, you just had reconstituted.
What's about just juice?
You go to a supermarket now. You can buy decent juice.
Yeah.
That's not always been the case in New Zealand.
What are you talking about?
Seven years ago.
Well, the stuff my dad watered down wasn't any good.
People could make their own juice potentially, or have cordial.
Yeah.
I remember when the juice game. I could make it in New Zealand.
Did you grow up in New Zealand?
I went there in year 10. And then I went back.
You had
there.
One bad juice left.
To be fair, that may not be an accurate complaint. That might just be that particular supermarket. That pack and save in Dunedin that had a juice problem, and I've held on to it. Coco Ninja? I think that was the name of a drink they were selling at the time. There are so many beautiful things to say about New Zealand. Let's maybe this would be a nice moment. Let's recount some of the best New Zealand things. Milliford Sound.
My mum.
The All Blacks.
My dad.
I feel like I'm doing a lot of the heavy lifting here. The keen interest in high school boys playing rugby.
Oh yeah,
we really jump on in the later stages once they've joined the leagues.
Yes,
but when you watch those beautiful, developed 14-year-old Pacifica boys with their mountainous calves getting out there for a sweat.
Yeah. Rugby is actually falling off in New Zealand.
Like, no,
it's I read a study about it. Well, I saw someone did a study about it, and basketball is the thing that's growing.
And
soccer and rugby's falling behind.
No. Is it because no one else in the world?
I think that's got to be a part.
It's got to be a part of it.
No one else cares. I assume no one else cares in part because New Zealand keeps dominating at it, and it's not a fun game for anyone else.
We stopped caring as a country. Yeah. We're not as good at this. We're never going to get rid of the talent pathway into rugby league and the AFL. I mean, it's our third or fourth best athletes.
Yeah.
And only the private school educated.
Yes,
it's only an upwardly mobile game.
But you'd be crazy to keep being invested in it if you kept, you know, suffering so badly. And what's worse is that
you're number one, right?
Yes, and not
never forget how sweet it is to be number one.
No, but that's the thing, is that New Zealand has forgotten, and we've become bitter and contorted in our victory. You know, we've become sore winners.
Anything less than a perpetual first place is very difficult for
you. Yes, and also
when South Africa gets up there on the podium.
And we, not only that though, when we win games, you listen to talk. My dad would always listen to sports talkback radio, and it was people calling in to complain that the game wasn't played well enough, even though we had
won. Though you had won,
I don't know what the issue was. We had won, but you know, these people, they've just become so disappointed. You know, even the taste of victory has become like ash in their mouth.
It's sad. It's sad when you become that. It's like the oldest gunslinger in the West who's just sick of killing young men. Won't they give me a challenge? Won't they give me a challenge for the boys up there? I did a corporate gig at a Bledisloe Cup once.
Really? Is that an Australia versus New Zealand match?
I think that's what it's called. I could be getting that
wrong. No, you're right. I just don't know enough about rugby to...
It was a terrible thing, but it was all Kiwis.
Yeah.
It was in Australia. Hello. How you doing?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes. Oh, cheers. Thank you.
Do you want to say it into the mic?
Thank you for watching.
I recognise this man. Oh, he's a lovely bloke. Keep it up.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's,
oh, really?
You know, he's very
funny
as well.
You don't know me. That's fine. No,
he's very. You should check out his bit about Kanye West. It's very good.
I'm absolutely devastated to have experienced that in my own hometown. You come here, you beat us at rugby, you outshine us with the locals.
It's a genuinely insane thing to have happened, like, because I never really came to Australia before I started appearing on TV here. I'd been to Canberra for 3 days, and that was it. And
which is not really representative of the rest of the country,
not,
I would say.
Not at all. And so it's so strange to be in this country, and, you know, like, not like, I mean, not that it happens all the time, but it happens sufficiently enough that I get, like, recognized by people who don't, you know, who I've never met before, in cities I've never been. Like, this is the first time I've ever been to Adelaide, and a man just ran by and said hello to me. Isn't that insane? It's, I don't know.
It's beautiful.
It's,
your reputation precedes you.
It suggests
you'll never be able to be a stranger in any new place.
Yes,
here.
Yeah, unless I go to a place that doesn't speak English, which is maybe the way to go.
You want to go to some of the eastern suburbs of Adelaide. Yeah.
it suggests a level of career success, which is nice, but a real sacrifice in privacy, which is obviously not ideal. Yeah, but what were we talking about?
Well, then stop. You've got to stop being successful in New Zealand now. If that's where your home hearth and heart are, would it be possible to become successful? So I think about this sometimes.
Yeah.
Would it be possible to become successful only overseas? And get to come home to Adelaide and not have to live as a known person. And so you could do that in a number of ways. I think you could play a sport that they don't care about here. But even then, we'd care about the sport.
Yes. No, yeah. Basketball, again, is only starting to get bigger in New Zealand now. But the people, the New Zealanders who
if
have
the basketball gets bigger, how will it fit through the ring? Please continue. I apologize.
We'll just sit in silence. No, you were right. I misspoke, and you were right to seize upon it.
You spoke correctly. The word is the same. Oh. The sport and the item the sport is played with are the same
so
now.
So low is my self-esteem. I was willing to believe I made myself a fool.
Never accept that from anyone, Ray. If someone comes and they says this heat is too loud, you say, you get out of here. I need a certain quality of life. If someone attacks you for saying basketball, you take pride in having said basketball. That's what this show's all about, is bringing the self-esteem up. No, it's about buying a bike. Seriously.
What was the question? It was about basketball. No. I think...
Just to be unknown in the home.
Yes. I do think there's such a... These are just, I don't know, I have good problems, you know. I'm very lucky that this is the issue in my life.
Well, you must be lonely in Melbourne, because I've moved to Melbourne.
Yeah.
I mean, I was lonely in Melbourne in a relationship, though. Yeah. Are you living alone? You got housemates?
I live alone.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a real level of success in Melbourne.
Yeah.
That's bona fide real success. To not have to live with someone else.
Well, the issue was I felt like I'd reached a certain age. Also, as the years had gone by, and I was slowly losing more and more flatmates.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I was getting to a level where I thought it was, like, embarrassing to have to show up to, like, share house viewings. And I was also embarrassed of, like, what if this person recognizes me from TV? And then they're like, aren't you on TV? Why are you here viewing the share house?
You wouldn't move in with a comedian?
Oh, I know, I would, but again, I didn't know as many comedians back then.
Of course.
I guess it would have been taking a risk, you know, to...
You took a bold leap. Have you been paying attention to Australia when you moved there?
Yes.
So what, they flew you out from New Zealand, never having been there, to be on our telly. I can't get a phone call saying, hey, Jimmy, how about you make some wisecracks about King Charles? Who knows, maybe one day, but... G'day,
hello,
how you going?
Hello.
He's on the telly!
Hello. Okay. Yeah. Hello. I said thank you. Those people were decidedly much less impressed about me being on television.
They imported you. I didn't know they imported you for our TV.
It's
so good.
But
I'm glad.
But
you're
also
so invested in
New Zealand is closer to Melbourne than Perth is, you know. So it's in some ways it's similar to flying someone interstate, you know, which
yes,
they also
no,
do.
I understand. But what about a little pride? about a little homegrown pride? That's all I ask.
I will say 7 days does fly Australian comedians to New Zealand. So there is some reciprocal.
That is not. Who's been? Which Australians have been on 7 days?
Let's see. Claire Hooper, Mel Buttle,
of course,
Alex
of course.
Ward, Emma Hooper. Emma Holland.
Yep.
And Chopper, I think, is. Chopper, Heath Franklin has been the.
Four ladies in a chopper sounds about right proportionally.
And then Brett Blake?
Brett Blake got on 7 days?
Yeah, Brett Blake's been on.
Brett, congratulations. That's outstanding.
But that's, well, you know, that has happened the other way. And I will say.
Seriously, a white guy from Australia getting picked to go on New Zealand television is like a black lady in the 50s winning an Academy Award. It's incredible how good you have to be to get over that. I can cut some of this out.
That's me saying that.
That's not you saying that.
Yeah. I refuse to sign off. Mike, you know, I've still got a career, so I refuse to sign off.
You've done
anything.
Fine. No, you're...
But I will sign on with saying Brett Blake is a very good comedian.
Outstanding.
I think his partner is also Kiwi. So I think it was like, you know, he doesn't know the cultural relevance that 7 days had, but his partner did. So that was very nice for
him. Oh, my
goodness.
I thought... When I got to New Zealand, I just thought I'd walk in for 7 days, and I thought that would be so impressive for my woman, and it just never happened. But it never will happen. But that's fine.
No, it might happen.
It actually could now happen.
You can't say never. No, the show's still on the air.
I don't even know that I would want to. I see people who have great success as comedians go, I don't want to go on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
I don't need to. That part time is over. I would so love to go and sit next to Jimmy Kimmel, wear a suit and tie, and say, Jimmy, how's it going?
Jimmy, here's my stand-up repackaged to seem like a normal story.
I have so many bits that never quite made it that I would so love to use. Do you have a story that was on stage that didn't quite work that you'd like to repurpose for an anecdote on this podcast?
Oh, there are things that, you know, have just happened to me. You know, I was in... line at the airport security, and the man recognized me.
Hold on, let me set this up the way it would be on a talk show. All right, this is a top professional talk show. Ray, you're a successful man. You do a lot of traveling, and you ever get recognized at the airport?
Oh, James, let me say. Oh my God,
sure, I would have to be a Jimmy.
You'd have to be a Jimmy. You'd have to be a Jimmy. They're all Jimmies. Oh my, there was. You know, it happens from time to time. You know, one time I was in airport security, and the man he recognized me. He said, "Aren't you that guy from that show?" And they never know the name of the show. You know how it is.
I do.
You know, and then yes, that's the other thing is you have to be.
People
over.
Say it about me on my show all the time. Yeah, they say, "Don't I know you from television?" And I say, "No, I'm the man who accidentally killed your sister with a car." And they go, right. No, please go on.
So
I apologize.
We're on Conan. I didn't realize.
No, yes.
We're going for a bit darker, a bit edgier.
What's a lighter version of... I could do the David Letterman version.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Aren't you that fella who's always hiding outside my wife's window at night?
and so, Jimmy, he recognized me, and then he said, "Oh, you got a bit of white fluff in your hair."
Oh.
And then he said, "Let me get that for you."
Oh, very intimate.
And he leant over the airport security line, but he wasn't quite so, and I had to lean forward as well because I was taller than him. And then he picked like, I don't know if it was a big bit of dandruff or like a big, but he groomed me like an ape would groom their young in line. It was humiliating. And that's basically, you know, that's just something.
Oh, I thought the touchdown was when they're patting you, patting the buttock and those things. That was bad, but to be tenderly groomed by a... Usually you have to pay a bit extra to get a thing like that happening on a flight.
the roots right. Do a rim shot. Jimmy Fallon gets up, walks away from the desk, laughs
right.
So hard.
What are you here to promote?
What am I here to promote?
What are you here to promote?
You can follow me on my socials. It's... @ Ray O'Leary Comedy across everything.
Very funny man, and Ray O'Leary. Ray O'Leary, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm still on tour in Australia and Edinburgh. Sorry, should I? Were we going to do a bow?
No.
It's just.
But now is the serious time. Now I'm gonna. Oh, look at that! That's isn't that?
Yes, dumb? I've been noticing the sun behind the clouds.
Ooh,
so beautifully.
Sometimes I like to do affirmations on the podcast.
Oh yes,
I like to affirm. You got anything you'd like to affirm?
Oh, I was waiting. I was going
to. I could give you some examples. Like, yeah. I could say, sometimes I just like to. Hello there. I like to look deep into my heart. You know, like today, looking out the ocean, I affirm that I'm going to sail a boat on this ocean one day.
Oh, yeah.
I affirm that.
Mm-hmm.
I affirm that. You know, I've been a bit lazy about trying to get on Australian media to sell this upcoming tour.
Yeah.
I'm going to work harder on that. I'm going to chase up some leads.
Yes, do it.
I affirm that even though that involves humble pie, you know?
You have to.
I think it's fun. And let's not take it, you know, let's not forget the fun of being out here and doing something exciting, affirmations.
It's such a dream job. I'm so
Isn't
lucky.
Isn't it crazy to get to do it?
Yes, it's so, what a gift. As Nate Bargatze said, we're all just trying to win the lottery, you know?
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.